Say Jake.
Yeah?
No. Say Jake.
Jake.
Great.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all of these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
This is our 1-year anniversary episode. We come to the realization somewhere in the middle of that podcast, but it was special nonetheless.
And it did get real.
So don't worry about that. Let's get started. Enjoy, everybody.
If you're in a sticky situation and think that you might need a place to run and try to hide away, look no further than Amir and Jay. They will gladly take. I may have overstated that. Oh, these dudes will give you some good advice, or at least they'll try. Actually, I cannot promise you that, but they will do their best to make it funny. Don't write an unless you're stunning. The unself-aware.
Hell yeah.
Loser.
No.
He was playing a uke.
You're the loser. You don't know how to play any instrument.
Yeah.
And you just disparage people who do.
But at least I don't pretend to play a normal sized guitar and use a little dinky one.
He doesn't do that.
Sorry, I thought you'd be on my side here.
He doesn't pretend it's another instrument.
Sure he does.
Do you think everyone with the ukulele is trying to trick you?
Yeah, I think they're all tricksters.
I saw you walk up to a guy playing a ukulele on the subway, and you said, "You're not fooling anyone."
I said, "I'd give you a dollar, but nice try."
Look at this, guys. He's trying to pass this off as a guitar, and clearly it's not. It's some other tiny one.
He's trying to pretend like he's a 10-foot-6-inch guy playing a normal size guitar, but I saw right through him. He's 5'8".
It's small on me too. It's not a trick. It's not an illusion. It's just small.
Everyone's booing me. That guy's name was Ethan Ruby.
I like Ethan Ruby. I like that song.
Solid song.
I like the way he wrote it as he was singing it.
What do you mean?
He's like, at least they'll try to give you advice. Actually, I can't promise that. Like, okay.
Yeah. There are songs like that where like the lyrics contradict each other.
Yeah, it's funny because you do imagine the person like writing them down,
right,
recording them. So it's like
Saturday in the park. I think it was the 4th of July.
Yeah, like before you record the song, just go make sure.
Double check.
Saturday in the park.
It was
the 4th of July.
Now that I think about it, it was the 2nd of July.
It was definitely the 2nd of July.
Or it's like that Elton John song where he's like, "You see, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue."
Oh, he's talking about someone's eyes?
Yeah. Oh, then he's like, and he also says, "If I was a sculptor, but then again, no."
All right, then don't use that one.
He doesn't know how to delete.
He decided not to be a sculptor.
But then again, no. And then the song just ends. Sorry, the song is going to be about me being a sculptor.
Yeah, he decided to go be a painter instead.
But then again, no.
Then again, no.
So no song. Hey, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Amir.
I feel bad. We can go back to doing it the old way.
You know, this is our 1 year. This is the 1 year anniversary show.
This is really?
Yeah. Our first episode was May 12th, 2013. Or no, May 13th, 2013.
And now it's May.
And now today it's in podcast land, May 12th, 2013.
Holy shit. Happy anniversary, brother.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
And happy anniversary to me too, brother.
Brother. This is also, I think, the latest we've recorded a podcast. Like, it's Sunday night at 9:45 p.m.
Is this the latest we've recorded a podcast?
Or, like, the closest to it's being released.
Right, like, down to the wire.
Yeah, like, this is borderline live.
Yeah.
Because we just have to turn it around. If there's any mistakes in it, I apologize. We don't have time to listen to it.
Borderline live and 100% irresponsible.
Yeah, negligent. We ran out of time. We procrastinated.
It was Mother's Day today.
Oh, yeah.
You had to see your mother. I had to see my brother.
Yeah, it was your brother's day today.
Yes, I'm his mother, so I went up to see young Michael at school.
So how does it work? People are in difficult places. Obviously, life isn't good.
We
always
should do like a, let's script a duo intro.
Oh.
Because that way, you know, it's not all the onus isn't all on you.
So like we say the same exact thing all the time.
People are in need. People, all right. People are, what do you say?
I say people are in a difficult place in their lives.
And then I'll say dire straits, if you will.
Straits. But then again, no.
All right, let's try that beginning. Ready?
Okay. People are, what, so how does it work? People are in difficult places in their lives.
Dire straits, if
and,
you will.
And so what they do is they email us.
They email us at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
And we do our best to answer their questions.
Let's get started.
All right, we have that recorded. All we have to do is practice those lines.
I fear I won't be able to nail straight every single time. Did you just take a photo?
I accidentally took a photo.
You just took
yes.
a fucking picture. I'm laying here shirtless.
I didn't take a photo of you.
I'm just going to tell you the most discomforting sound when you're lying on a couch shirtless is the sound of a fucking camera going off.
It's such an embarrassing noise, like to be caught in, like taking a surreptitious photo and just hearing.
You know, it'd be a fun prank, like at a trucker rest stop, like there's just like a trucker guy, right? He's the actor. He's like just a big old scary looking trucker.
Yeah.
And then people come in and they're peeing next to him. And you just hear the sound of an iPhone camera.
Yeah, this. We just play that. So the people, we're not actually taking photos of them, so they can't get mad at right. us. It's not illegal.
So they, like, they, some people will look over at him and be like, did you take a picture? And right. then sometimes he should look at them and be like, did you just take a picture?
You mean they're both at urinals next to each
yeah,
other?
Yeah,
yeah.
Side by side urinals.
That's really good.
I'm going to email Jimmy Fallon. What do you think it is? Jimmy
at Fallon.
Do you think it's Jimmy at The Tonight Show?
You know what it might be is Jimmy Fallon at Gmail. A lot of people you know, and thus probably a lot of celebrities, just have their names at Gmail.
I have thought about that before, and I actually, Mary Kate and Ashley Olson at gmail.com right. is me.
So really?
Knows. I don't know if I can still use it, but yeah.
You also started Paul Dano's Twitter, right?
Yeah.
You troll. You trolled Paul Dano.
The real Paul Dano.
You made a fake Twitter account for Paul Dano.
I really did do that. Let me see if I can find it.
It's what a small time prank.
I think it doesn't have, oh my God, the real Paul Dano.
The real.
I think it's the real Paul Dano. Yeah, the real Paul Dano.
Bio, this is a parody account.
Oh, no, it couldn't load.
Oh, wow, maybe they...
They deleted me.
You finally, Dano's people finally got to you.
Fuck, dude.
All right, let's get started. Let's answer these questions. Real emails from real people. We're going to give them fake names to preserve their anonymity. Do you have a fake name theme for this episode?
Let's do kids I went to elementary school with.
Okay. So who wrote this email?
Joe. Actually, should I not do his whole name? Let's say, let's call him Joe W.
Joe Dubs writes, hello, guys. I've been dating an amazing girl for a few months. Gorgeous, brilliant, the whole nine yards. Our sex life is, for the most part, pretty good, but there's one rough spot. She has never let me go down on her. Not once, not ever. She gives me head occasionally, and I could probably ask her to do it more, but I'd feel greedy not reciprocating. What's more, she won't tell me why she won't let me go there. At first she said she'd be too loud, but then when we were in a more private place, I still got rebuffed. I try every few times we're fooling around, but whenever I get down there, she clamps her legs and clams right up, pun intended. So how do I go about fixing this oral problem? I really enjoy eating girls out. Plus, not to brag, but I've been told I'm pretty damn good at it. And we all know what Uncle Ben meant when he said, with great power comes great responsibility, was actually, if you're good at eating pussy, eat pussy. Thanks, guys.
Excuse you.
Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben.
This is sort of like the opposite problem of most people where it's like, I want my girl or a guy to go down on me and they won't. This is like, I want to do it to them, and they won't let me.
I can understand where he's coming from. I would be devastating to me if I was with somebody who didn't like to receive oral sex.
Devastating, even though she was down to give you oral sex?
Yeah, I love
doing that.
Sex. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
Would you
to
be
do.
More devastated than if it were the other way around?
I would rather... Interesting.
You'd rather receive than give it?
No, I think I might rather give it.
You'd rather give it?
Yeah.
That can't be true.
As long as I can still fuck, yeah. Huh. I mean, I'd rather do both. If that's an option.
It's not.
I don't think I would be with somebody who like didn't like, or not like, but at least like, you know.
It's interesting what do you think it is about not wanting to get it?
I've met girls who
don't
say
like
they don't
it.
Like it, yeah.
I guess it grosses them out.
Right, I think there's like an insecurity thing. Some girls maybe, and some guys too, maybe people are just like, I don't want you to go down on me because I think my vagina looks weird. I think it smells weird. I think I don't want you to be that close to it. And then also maybe some girls are like super sensitive there, and it's actually not pleasurable. It's almost like being tickled. You know, it's like it's too intense.
Oh, geez. Imagine that, too intense.
That, which sounds like a good thing, but you wouldn't want someone to just be tickling you. That's too intense.
Tickling is too intense.
Tickling's intense. I'll go down on a girl. I'll let her suck my dick, but tickling's where I draw the line.
Yeah, you don't want anybody sort of wiggling your rib cage.
Yeah. Oh, I love being tickled. Didn't I tickle you on the podcast once?
Probably. So what do you do in this situation? How do I go about fixing this oral problem is the specific question.
Well, it sounds like he hasn't done anything. He hasn't, like, really gone. He hasn't, wow, I can't think of the word, and I might never be able to.
I think this is the end.
Dealing with the problem head on.
When you're deep. Oh, that's a good pun, though.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You mean broaching it in a non-sexual way?
Yeah, just like fucking saying what you're thinking. Because right now he's like, they talked about it. She's like, it would be too, I would be too loud. And he's like, okay.
That's a fake excuse.
Right. Well, I understand him like accepting that at first. But then he tried in a more private setting and she still said no. And she's clamming up on him. Then I think you should, maybe there's an issue that could be worked out. Like, hey, do you not like that? And then she could say, give you the reasons why she doesn't, and maybe you could quell her fears. Maybe she'll say, I think my vagina is weird. You say, I think you have the best looking vagina I've ever seen in my whole life. She's like, I think it's smelly. And you say, it smells like roses.
And then you go down on her, and then you're like, holy shit, actually, never mind, you were right.
You go down there and immediately vomit. Oh, baby.
Why did you let me do this? You should have continued with some sort of ruse, an excuse.
I think you should, yeah, you should just say, like, what's up? What's the deal? Tell me like it is. Especially if this is your girlfriend. It's not like some just random girl you're hooking up with. You guys should be able to have a better communication.
Yeah. Just at least bring it up, not while you're... Oh, God.
Sorry, I just thought about this chick's pussy.
I think her biggest nightmare is this conversation right now being broadcast to tens of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Sorry, being podcasted.
Okay, on a borderline live podcast.
Yeah, I would say he hasn't even asked her about it.
Yeah.
He should do that. You should do that. You should talk to her about it.
I also love that, like, this is my talent is being wasted on her.
Yeah, it's like
I'm a Casanova.
It's locking Michael Jordan in a gymnasium and not giving him a ball. It's a waste of potential here.
Trust me, I am the Spider-Man of going down on chicks.
What does that mean?
Well, Uncle Ben, the Spider-Man reference.
Oh. Did not get that. I thought he meant the rice guy.
Who's Uncle Ben's rice?
It's the company, isn't
you
it?
You thought that Uncle the rice company said, with great power comes great responsibility?
I thought it was a really good rice.
No, I think that's a Rice-A-Roni. Yeah. It was either the San Francisco treat or with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, two parts water, one part rice. Please don't destroy this great, great responsibility you have. All right. Do you have a female elementary school friend's name for the second question?
Oh, yes. Sarah C.
Sarah C. Okay, this is sort of a Mother's Day themed question. Perfect timing. Hey, guys. Recently, my husband and I have been talking about starting a family. We are both really excited, but I'm a little worried about becoming a mom. My husband has a great relationship with his family. They are very close and talk a lot. I, on the other hand, still have a lot of resentment towards my parents due to an unhappy childhood. My mom has a criminal record, and my dad barely bothers to conceal his old-school sexism around his daughters. We do not talk any more than once a month, and I do not have very much respect for either of them. I am worried that I won't know how to be a good mom because of this. And my husband is such an amazing person, I don't want to disappoint him or our child. Jake often talks about his awesome, loving relationship with his mom, so I was wondering if you guys could share some of the things that your parents did to foster your relationships and keep you guys close into adulthood. Thanks. Sincerely, Sarah C.
Oh, my goodness.
It sucks because she can't be a good mom.
Right.
Like, regardless of how many good stories we give her.
I was going to say maybe she has the kid, gives it to the husband, and then leaves.
Because
that way the husband, he deserves a kid. It's going to be a good dad.
Because he had good parents.
Yeah.
And that way she doesn't taint him.
That's...
Like, regardless of how much she tries, it's not going to happen, I feel like.
I'll say Piece of advice before I go into I'm gonna tell my mom how much I love this Mother's Day. You bet your fucking ass I'm gonna tell.
Because
my
you
mom.
Didn't actually call her.
I didn't call her today. So I think you can learn by bad example as well as by example. You were raised in a household where your parents showed you how not to do it. Your husband was raised in a household where his parents showed him how to do it. So you guys actually make a perfect team.
Oh, wow. It's a perfect pair. And you can see who does it better now. It's sort of like a competition.
Well, all right. God, you so the quickly best turn it negative.
Yeah, it's don't a game.
You, it's impressive.
So you get 10 points for, actually holding the child.
Competition.
Just birthing
10
him
points?
Is
what
10
does the
points.
Winner get?
The winner gets the kid's inheritance if he or she should perish before the parents.
So it all comes
parents.
Back to money.
Yeah, ideally, so it's a cash game.
Yeah,
life is a cash game.
Your whole
game.
Life is just money.
Life is not a zero-sum game. Life is a 1-0-0-0-0-0, a.k.a. a million cash game, where the winner gets cash.
You're broke.
Yeah, because I haven't had a kid yet.
I wanted to, you saw your mother today?
Yeah.
Was that nice?
Yeah, it was nice. It was fun to hang out with my mommy.
Did you tell her you loved her?
I didn't have to I don't.
You and your parents don't say I love you.
Rarely, yeah. I don't know.
When did you tell your mom you loved her today?
No.
You never said I love you?
No, I show it in different ways. I don't have to fake it with words.
Fake? What do you mean fake it?
Oh, I love...
How do you show her that you love her?
I'll give her a hug and say Happy Mother's Day.
And you like...
I give her a card with a $5 bill.
They took you out to every meal today, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would never pay for any of it.
I see. Okay. Yeah. You're a bad son. I tell my mommy I love her.
Right, but your mom and my mom are opposites.
We were talking about this a few weeks ago, or the other week, when we were in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we were going to the baseball game, and you were talking to your mom on the phone, and she's like, who's going? How are you going to get there? The train or cab?
Right.
What time is the game?
Who's picking you up?
Who's picking you up?
Right.
What did you eat? And it's just all logistics.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Who's there? What's this? What's happening with this?
Like she's writing a journalism article about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then I talked to my mom. I was like, yeah, we went to a Giants game. And she's like, oh, was it amazing? She just wants to know my feelings.
My mom has never even used the word amazing.
Does she ever ask you how you feel about something?
I'm sure. But she's like non-spiritual.
Right.
Sort of like me. You also came to the realization the other day that your mom is like you and your dad is like me.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that we're blessed to, we're going to last forever.
Yeah, and we're going to adopt 6 kids.
I really hope so. So would you like to give your mom a shout out for Mother's Day?
She's not going to listen to this podcast because we don't have that kind of relationship either, but... My mom knows how much I appreciate her.
All right, good. I'm happy she
I'm her
does.
Favorite son, and as such, I've done the best job at being her child.
That's good.
I'm her baby boy.
I would like to tell my mother on this podcast that I love you dearly. You're my mommy. I'm your baby. I am your little boy, and you are my big lady.
That's not a nice thing.
All right. I love you, Mom. I'll say this. This is real. This is me being real right now.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't be a writer if it weren't for my mom.
Well, can't I say the same thing? Wouldn't I have been a different person if not for my mom just by
default?
Well,
didn't she constantly ask you to go to law school?
Yeah. And that sort of reverse motivated me.
Oh, just like this woman and
yes.
Her husband.
We'll learn from her mistakes.
Perfect. I love you, Mom.
Well, let's try to give this girl some advice. Firstly, asking two non-parental dudes how to be a mom is...
You just call me fat?
Why? Two non-parental? We don't have kids, is what I'm saying.
All right.
Asking two dudes about how to be a mom is... We're really out of our comfort zone here. But here's the thing. Being a good mom... Everyone says that they're not ready to be a mom because you can't be ready to be a mom. The only way you become ready to be a mom is by becoming a mom. Like, I don't know how it's done, and maybe you won't know how it's done until you have a baby. And the most important thing is to give a lot of effort. And it seems like you're going to give extra effort because you want to overcome this adversity. So if anything, you're more capable than people who have had better parents to becoming a mom. And you shouldn't be worried. Or what did she say? You shouldn't be worried that you don't know how to be a good mom because of this. If anything, it should motivate you to become a better mom, and I think it will do just that.
Cool. Would you mind if I tack a little bit of the old the Jake spice on this?
Yeah.
I will first submit a counterpoint to that. We don't know, because you and I had moms.
Right.
So I feel like we do know a little bit about good parenting.
Okay.
I think that we're not necessarily an authority, but I think it's acceptable that she would ask. So on that matter, I disagree with you. her being a good mom, I'm going to disagree with you there too.
she's fucked.
No, I think I think you're worse off if you're coming into this situation like, I'm going to be the best mom. Fuck it. Don't worry. Nobody tell me anything. I got this. You are like coming in with such an open mind that you're like, how do I be good? And as soon as you have that level of self-awareness, then I think, you know, you will be good. Your kid's going to help you. Your husband's going to help you. Your past experiences are going to help you.
Your parents are not going to help you because fuck them.
Yeah, well, that's the only, your little baby might not have the best grandparents, but fuck it. He'll have a good mom.
I'll take good mom over good grandparents any day.
Oh, yeah, that's what's up.
How many grandparents of yours did you know?
All of them.
Yeah, you had all four?
Well, my grandfather died when I was like 15, and then they started dropping. But I guess I was 18 when my other grandma died. Then I was like 25 when my other grandma died, and my other grandpa's still kicking.
Damn. I basically only had one grandparent. By the time I was like 2 weeks old, I only had one grandparent left, but wow. She stayed alive till I was like 22.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway.
You're crying.
Sorry for things getting a little real, but as advertised, they should.
That's what's up.
Now, let's get to this question about butt plugs.
Mom, turn on the podcast.
We need a guy's name.
Okay. It's not that I don't have one. I'm just trying to think of like who my boys were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so let's call this one Corey C.
Corey C. writes, I've been with my girlfriend for almost 2 years now, and things are going great. She's trusting, funny, and quite a smoke show. A goddamn dime. But here's my conundrum. While browsing the internet the other day, I came across a deal on butt plugs. At a mere £5, I couldn't afford not to buy one. Since it arrived, I've been toying with how to approach the subject with my girlfriend. I don't even know if she's into that kind of thing. I mean, I've shoved a finger up there before and she seems to enjoy it, but this has quite a lot more girth than a finger. I'm also worried that if I don't say anything soon, she might stumble upon it and get the wrong idea that I'm using it on someone else or even on myself. How do I bring it up in conversation with her? Or could I just get it out next time we're having sex and see what happens? Any help would be greatly appreciated.
Where was he browsing that a deal on butt plugs just came up? You have to specifically
search butt plugs.
Shoot us straight, dude. Tell us you just like fucking sought the butt plug out. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that was a pop-up ad that he clicked on and decided to buy it.
I was reading the news at buttplugs.org, and I was like, oh,
Plug ads don't come up unless you're like, who the fuck looks at the ads when you're watching porn, though?
What exactly is a butt plug? Is it exactly what it sounds like? Is it just a dildo for your butthole? Does it have a string on the end of it so you can yank it out?
I've seen.
Is it like a wooden tampon of sorts?
You've never seen a butt plug?
How would I have seen a butt plug?
You watching porn.
I've never seen a butt plug in porn.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
What is it?
It kind of looks like
like a yo-yo.
A spherical. No, it looks like the Ace of Spades a little bit.
Oh.
Except, you know, like not the hard edges.
But, okay.
just sort of like a mushroom almost.
Right. And so you can slide in because it's thin at the top, and then it widens out towards the base.
Thin at the top, widens out toward the base, and then there, it goes very tight in, and then there's sort of like a cylinder base at the bottom, so it doesn't like slip in, I guess. I don't know. So,
but is there a string that you can like, you know?
I've seen some of them that have like horsetails at the end. Some of them have strings. Then there's
this is
like
the noise I imagine that it makes when you take it out.
I resent that.
Yeah.
You're
just like that.
So I will say there's nothing wrong with that's enough of that. There's nothing wrong with desiring butt plugs. There's something wrong with lying to me about how you came across the butt plugs.
Have you ever used one?
No. That's pretty intense.
Is it for guys to use or girls or both?
Both.
Anybody with a butt.
Anyone with a butthole that they want plugged.
So this guy bought it thinking that his girlfriend would wear it?
I mean,
wear it? If it's in you, is it wearing it?
I guess it's not like you would wear it around during the day. I think you like play with it.
Right.
I don't know. I wonder. I feel like you can't just show her the butt plug because then she's going to be like, you've had this. You used it on other people already. You want to use it on me. Like,
God, imagine washing a butt plug. You'd have to really rinse it thoroughly, right?
You'd probably just run it under some
water. Yeah, just like you're cleaning your retainer in the morning.
You actually rest your toothbrush on it.
Oh, God.
I think you have to have the discussion with your girlfriend before you purchase the butt plug. You can't be like, I bought this butt plug. Put it in.
Well, it's too late. He found a good deal. He didn't want the price to go up.
So I think I would lie and just be like, I'm curious. I want to try to use a butt plug. Would you be down with that? She's way less likely to do it if you just bring it out. She's like, what did you expect? You thought you're going to pull out a butt plug and I was going to put it in?
But maybe it's best to have that conversation in the heat of the moment. Don't you think like a butt plug during sexual stuff is much less intense than a butt plug during like a picnic?
No, because I think...
Like you're taking out a baguette from a basket and then also a butt plug?
Well, I feel like you broach the subject subtly at first. I don't... Like if you're hooking up and then you pull out the butt plug, she might... balk at that. She might be like, whoa, stop, I'm putting my clothes on. It's a mood killer.
Right.
But I think you're out at lunch and you're talking about your sex life, like, oh man, I've never been so happy. Is there anything that like you would like me to do sexually with
butt plugs?
Well, I think you say, I love anal stuff. I'm curious about exploring that world, and then you feel it out, you see if she's down.
Maybe
you don't like butt stuff, so you don't understand.
Yeah. So you're saying like the butt plug itself, you have to insert it into the conversation slowly at first, and then you shove it right in.
No, you don't have to shove it right
in.
And
then at the end of the conversation.
I've never seen you struggle more with this. You're usually really good at it.
It's the performance of it.
Yeah, I think you gotta just bring it up, then introduce the fact that you are gonna buy it. Like, never tell her that you bought the butt plug without her knowing.
I think this guy should go to prison.
I think sodomy is a sin worth dying for.
I think this guy doesn't deserve to have a girlfriend or a life of his own. He is hedonistic.
Mm-hmm.
He is motivated by, I guess, the devil or something worse, and he shouldn't shove this object of Satan into anyone's rectum, let alone hers.
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess your advice was good. Talk to her about it. Though I would say do it during the heat of the moment.
All right. That's fair.
Really?
No, I disagree, but that's your advice. This is break time. I want to announce that I found the Paul Dano Twitter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is good. It is break time.
All right, great. Because...
Wait, talk more into the mic. I'm afraid people will miss it out.
All right, yeah. This is... I guess, like...
So you started a Twitter account.
Wow, this is crazy. May 10th. Oh, no, it started in March.
Oh.
But I just found one from May 10th, 2012. It started in February.
Because somebody on our subreddit, shout out to r/Jake and Amir, said that our 1 year anniversary of the podcast is coming up. And then I realized that it's also like the, is it seven year, 7 year anniversary of the Jake and Amir video starting.
That's crazy.
Also in May. So I feel like we only start shit in May.
That's
and then you're
spring,
like, oh, this Twitter account also started, not in May though, in March.
Yeah.
Still spring.
There
still
you go.
Counting it.
Spring, dude, I think that we're in bloom. That's what's up.
The rebirth of our brains.
I agree.
So how many tweets do you have from this Paul Dano account? Also, why did you start it?
I think I was just like, I must have been really bored. I have 36 tweets. I'm following 7 people, and I have 1,600 followers.
1,600?
That's pretty good.
That's a lot. Jesus.
The first tweet, the first thing I tweeted was eclipse. Then the next day I tweeted solar eclipse. Then the next day I tweeted total lunar eclipse.
So you're just the, like, the game here is that Paul Dano is just interested in is a like
just like some weird like yeah
astrology hobbyist.
Well, I think I just wanted him to seem like really really deep and artsy and sort of like
gotcha
ambiguous. But then I'm like there's also a whole bunch of.
What was the last tweet, the one that you did in May of 2013? The week we started this podcast.
Well, the last one I did was September 27th, 2012, and I just wrote complete.
So what did you say was in May? Oh, it started in March, and you thought it was May.
Yeah.
Because it said M-A-R, or because you saw 03 and you thought that was the numerical equivalent.
I think, oh, because I thought I was scrolling and it was on May and I thought I'd scroll to the bottom, but I hadn't.
Should you tweet something now?
I probably should.
Have 1,600 followers.
Somebody named Jim tweeted at him and he said, at the real Paul Dano, I met you in Cali, man. You remember me? We hung outside the hotel. And I just wrote back, yeah.
It's so subtle because you're not trying to make him sound bad or good.
No.
He's also a celebrity that would never actually have a Twitter account, and he'll never find out about this, it seems.
I guess, the way I found it just now is I Googled Paul Dano Twitter.
And it came up.
Yeah.
What's a funny tweet to do after a year?
Are you really the Paul Dano? Are you really the real Paul Dano? And I wrote, yeah.
An impersonator wouldn't lie.
Oh, man, you're absolutely mad and there will be blood. Reminds me of the religious freaks we have in North Carolina. Ha ha. And I just wrote back, THX.
You're so subtle. There's no reason to do this.
No. It's so boring.
You're not making a statement.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only fitting thing that I could write is maybe I'll retweet a Jake and Amir video.
These guys are actually on point in a way. And I feel like the blonde one is a better actor than me.
I really can't believe I have 1,600 followers. I haven't looked in 2 years.
That's almost sad for Paul Dano. Is it Dano or Dano?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
How?
People are going to tell us.
We're going to get
Paul
emails
Dano?
About
Paul
it.
Dano? I feel like it's Dano.
Paul Dano.
I'll go on record as saying it's Dano, and I don't care if I'm wrong.
Book him, Dano. Another thing that I wanted to mention during the break is that our show at the Hollywood Improv is almost sold out, but not quite yet. Mm. Our live podcast, Saturday, May 31st. So that link is at our site, ifiwereyoushow.com. Or you can just Google If I Were You Show Live Hollywood Improv.
You know,
Jake
we also,
and Amir Live Hollywood Improv. You know, there's just like different ways to use the search engine.
We have a show coming up in New York.
When?
June 12th.
Really?
UCB.
Oh, okay. There we go. June 12th.
You could probably buy tickets for that.
I heard it here first.
Our triumphant return to New York City.
Oh my God. Nobody shows up.
Just to prove a fucking point.
Paul Dano's there. Well, well, well.
He bought out the whole theater to confront me.
How's that for a lunar eclipse?
Dano, you sick fuck. I'm sorry.
I loved you in the milkshake movie.
Let's edit all this Paul Dano stuff out. I want people to think it's really the real Paul Dano.
It's a 6-minute long podcast. How many times a day do you think somebody yells milkshake at Paul Dano or I drink your milkshake?
Twice.
That's not bad, actually.
It's pretty good, considering.
Considering how many times you get called the pinch.
The pinch. I forgot about that.
Never forget. All right, ready for the last question?
Yeah.
Uh, girl's name?
Let's call this gal Leslie H.
Ooh, very nice.
Thank you.
You think this episode should be called Mother's Day or Butt Plugs?
I feel like we should do Mother's Day / Butt Plugs.
Oh, that's funny.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Team. Yeah. Hey, guys. So I have a friend who is always complaining about never having been in a relationship and how she doesn't understand why guys don't like her. She isn't lacking in self-esteem, seeing as she's always says how she thinks she has a great personality and she has a really pretty face, which she does. She always just blames it on the fact that she's kind of a plus-sized girl. And while that may or may not be the reason she's single, I'm going to bet it's the fact that she smells really bad. She only showers every 3 to 4 days and never washes her clothes. I already had to ask her to stop the car because she because her smell made me sick, and I blamed it on motion sickness. She has a really nice she's a really nice person and a good friend, but how do you tell a friend that they smell so bad it literally makes you sick? Everyone around her complains behind her back, and they tell me I have to say something because it won't sound mean coming from me. Just curious to see what you would do. Thanks.
Oh, this question breaks my heart. This is how we're going to go out? I feel so sad.
Why? She has an easily solvable problem.
No, that girl's going to be so sad when she's like, you have to take showers. You smell bad. That girl's going to be like, how long have people been talking about this?
Well, I don't know. How long have you been taking bi-weekly showers? What sort
4 days is fine.
No, it is not.
I'll go 6 days without showering
yeah,
sometimes.
And it's bad.
Do I smell bad?
Probably. By
you
day
spend,
three,
You
four,
spend a lot
five.
Of time with me. Do I ever smell bad?
Sometimes, I guess. I wouldn't say...
What?
Sometimes you have BO if you go 3 days without showering.
Of course I don't.
How do you go that long like without showering? Don't you feel dirty?
I like feeling dirty.
You like feeling sticky?
I like feeling sticky. I like feeling dirty. I like smelling my own BO.
I love going to bed having just showered, wet hair, clean PJs and a shirt and socks.
I
wear a lot of clothes to sleep.
I sleep completely naked.
Yeah.
We often see each other in the bathroom in the morning.
Right. I'm wearing a baggy t-shirt, pajama pants, and socks, and you're nude. You're naked.
Yeah.
Next time you're naked.
To be fair, you're not wearing pants right now.
That's true. Next time you're naked, I just want you to hear this. Just to make you really nervous.
Hey, dude.
So... You smell. Well, this is kind of just a general dilemma is like your friend has an easily fixable issue, but you don't want to broach it. Like yeah. I've had this issue with friends that are like, oh, this guy or this girl does this one thing and they can just not do it and everybody would like them more. And as your friend, it would help. It would be very helpful to tell them what it is.
Right.
But it might come at the sacrifice of making it weird for the next couple days, weeks,
it's sort of
months.
Like having something in your teeth or your fly down. It's like a little uncomfortable to tell somebody,
right?
Like, hey, pick your teeth. But I think as a person, I'd rather have that moment of discomfort and then have clean teeth. And this is like a bigger scale problem than that because you have to have like a real uncomfortable conversation. But I wonder if you could just be like, get in your car, like, wow, you kind of smell bad today.
Oh,
and then
when was
like,
the last time you showered? This week.
Yeah, just like, you smell bad today. And you could start it now. Pretend that it just started to be a problem. So you're like, I think the thing that's painful is saying, like, with anything like this, you say something and you're like, how long has this been building up? How long have people been talking behind my back? How long have I smelled bad? So you just say, hey, you smell bad. As if you're saying it for the first time, you just noticed. And they're just like, what, really? Like, yeah, did you shower today? Like, oh, no, I should.
No, I showered 4 days ago.
And then she showers, and then that's good. And then
oh,
next
and then
time
you
she
give
smells,
her positive reinforcement
yeah,
when
like,
she
oh,
did shower.
Nice. And then next time she smells again, you've already established that you'll just say something. So you get in her car, like, whoa, you reek. And they're like, wow, this is the second time you told me that. Like, yeah, I think you're starting to smell a bit. You should shower.
Yeah, your hair's greasy too.
And you play it off like it's this is just the new relationship. This is what you've discovered.
Right.
Not like... this is pent up for so long, and I finally have to say something. You smell and you always have.
I totally agree with telling people, though I have a personal story that this reminds me of, where somebody told me something where, like, I was already doing the thing. So I remember in high school, I had zits. I had acne, greasy face, red face. And one of my female friends, while we were on the phone once, was like, by the way, like, you know, you can like, do you like know about like Clearasil and like Neutrogena, like this, like gel, you can like wash your face. I was like, yes, I know about that. And then she's like, okay, I'm just saying, like, maybe it'll help you out. I was like, I'm already using that.
You bitch.
What a backfire. I just felt like, oh, now I know everyone's talking about my skin, and also I'm already doing the thing that you're suggesting.
So nothing's gonna work.
Now what, girl? You fucked me.
The only solace I could take in this was that people weren't paying as much attention to my face as I was paying attention to my face, and now I know that's not true.
I had the worst type of acne, which was like bad, but not bad enough to have Accutane, which is like the miracle pill that just destroys your entire body and also acne.
Really? That's what Accutane does?
Yeah, Accutane is like an atomic bomb. It like thins out every cell in your body. It's like it does stop acne, but also it makes your eyes yellow and dry, your fingernails thin, your toes stop working.
You desperately wanted Accutane?
Well, I desperately wanted clear skin.
Yeah, it's funny how that's like...
kids with worse skin than me had better skin within 6 weeks because they had Accutane.
Well, now isn't there like...
I wonder if Accutane is still legal. Like, that shit was fucking dangerous. That was like a really only like it only people kept using it because teens hate zits that much. They're like, yeah, I don't care if it causes depression and suicidal tendency. Crazy.
I heard
thoughts.
Some like there. I don't know if this is a real story. If it was just like an anecdote they told us in health class, but there was like these kids were using. They were like sniffing some type of glue to get high. And they like put labels all over this glue. They're like, don't sniff it. Like, it's dangerous, whatever, whatever. And people are still doing it. And then they just printed on the label, like, sniffing this glue like causes breakouts. And they stopped.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. Like, kids will do anything as long as it means they don't get zits.
Dude, zits are the fucking worst. I remember I had a zit a couple months ago. And it was like the first one I had to deal with in years.
And you just couldn't stop thinking about it.
I couldn't stop thinking about it.
I just pulled it up and it says, pulled from the market, Accutane still available nonetheless. And that was in 2012. So I guess they did eventually pull Accutane, though it's still available through generic manufacturers.
All right. There's
fuck it. I'll take suicidal thoughts and thin fingernails.
I'm having suicidal thoughts because I have bad skin.
Oh, God. So what should this person do? Bring it up as if it's a new problem for her?
That's what I would do. It's like... you treat it as if as you treat it like you should have from the beginning. You should have said something right away if it was like bothering you and you guys are friends.
Yeah, but don't sit her down and make a big deal out of it.
I agree. I think that's where
that's the danger
zone.
It's
weird. You're like, hey, look, this is an intervention for your stench.
Right.
An interstention.
Yeah, a stenchervention. yeah, that's good. That's really good, actually.
Thank you.
Because
I'm getting pretty good at this old advice thing, huh?
After a year, we're not actually half bad anymore.
Oh, my God.
We're now half good, which is the same amount of bad and good. We're just more optimistic about it.
We're a little confident.
So, yeah, thanks so much for listening, guys. And thanks. If you've listened to every episode, maybe we should send them like...
money.
Yeah, like $25 cash.
That's cool. We have advertisers. We can afford it.
thanks for listening to this episode and any episode you've ever listened to.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, traffic is still going up. I remember the first week we were like...
Wait, that's what we should have been doing. This should have been like a...
appreciation?
Yeah, we should have been telling stories from the very first podcast.
Well, I remember the very first podcast came out and I told... my then girlfriend, you know, can we just talk about her for a second? I remember telling her, I was like, I really hope that it just breaks 20,000 listeners the first week. Like, I don't know where I got that number, but I was like, 20,000 in a week would be really cool. And it eventually like broke 20,000 within like the first couple days. And by the end of the first week, it had like 25,000. I was like, all right, this is huge. This is cool. And like, we were like climbing the iTunes charts. And now our episodes get 25,000 listens within the first day.
That's fucking dope.
So that means next year we'll be getting 50,000 a day.
And the year after that, it'll double again. and the year after that again.
This is us holding a gun to a fan. You hear that? See, you better start spreading the word. See, just
plugging his nose, trying to dump Accutane in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That email address, again, is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com if you have your own questions. We are still opening and closing every single episode with new theme song submissions. The first one was from someone named Ethan Ruby. This last one is from somebody named Jack.
Toda, Jack.
Toda, Jack, and toda, you guys. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Jake and Amir are really nice. They're gonna give you free advice. Jake's gonna tell you to swipe right. Amir's gonna do some math all night. Jake and Amir will tell you what to do. If they were you, they'd tell you what to do. If I were you.